Please welcome Glenn.
Growing pains. You know, he comes up with these themes, and I'm telling you, it drives you crazy for 2 weeks. I wake up in the middle of the night thinking about what the theme is, and it drives me nuts, and I try to come up with something, I don't know. Anyway, my mother was mentally ill, as you all know, I've told stories about her, and my father was an alcoholic. So it was a kind of an interesting scenario. We're poor as dirt, and whatever money my father could make at a service station as a mechanic either went to a bottle of booze or went to my mother's gambling habit. And I always blame my mother for, you know, sucking out all the money, but actually, you know, at 25 cents a bingo card, it wasn't that expensive, you know, three games. My dad, on the other hand, spent quite a bit more money, you know, going out and getting drunk and hanging out with his friends. He used to take me out with him, so basically I would sit at the back of the place, and it was called the Blue Door. And if the cops came in, I had to run out the door and head for the cannery. But basically, I got to see a side of my father that I'd never realized. He was very, all the women, all cannery workers, absolutely adored him and thought he was the best. But the problem with this is the fact that my father was an alcoholic. Now, my mother became addicted to blue chip stamps. So, since my dad worked at a gas station, we started helping him because he had to work in cars in the middle of the night, so we would pump gas. And my mother discovered blue chip stamps. So, what she would do is we had this dial machine. So, for instance, if you had $5, you'd dial out $5 worth of stamps or $2 worth of stamps. So, the whole premise behind this was the fact that the service station paid for these stamps. We were unaware of that. We did not know that the service station paid for the stamps. So, based upon that, my mother didn't find it a problem to when a customer would come in and have $2 worth of gas, if he didn't want the stamps, she would just dial out $10. She thought that wouldn't be a problem, and so she started collecting all these stamps. So, I mean, a year went by, and she had this multitude of blue chip stamps. I mean, blue chip books, you wouldn't believe how many boxes of blue chip stamp books we had. We made a killing when we went over to Hayward and cashed in our blue chip stamps. But the end result was the fact that Jerry, the owner of the service station, did an audit, and he realized that he was $1,200 in the hole because my mother was taking the blue chip stamps. So of course he went to my father, and my father didn't realize it was going to be a problem. I mean, he knew she was taking the stamps, but I mean, forget about it. You know, he thought, well, no big deal, right? But it was a big deal. So one day, I'm expecting my father to come home. He took my mom to bingo, and he would come home, pick me up, and take me to the Blue Door, and we'd spend the evening at a bar. Well, he came home and started packing his stuff. And so I said, Dad, what's going on? He said, I'm in big trouble. And he explained to me what had happened with the blue chip stamps. And he said, Jerry was a Hell's Angel. But when his father left him the service station, he retired and decided he was going to go straight. Unfortunately, his wife died 3 years later after he took over the station. But he married a woman named Serena, and she was a gypsy woman. She had a strange accent. She was of olive-colored skin. She was half his age, and he just totally adored her. We all figured she was a witch, and she put a spell on Jerry, but that was, you know, behind the scenes, that's what we talked about. But, you know, she was a nice woman. I liked her, except she didn't talk much. So my dad said he had to go, and I said, where are you going? He said, I'm going to San Francisco. A friend of mine from the Navy got me a job. I'm going to be a mechanic. I'm going to save up the money to pay Jerry back. You want to go with me? And I said, no, I don't want to go with you, because if we both leave, Mom's going to commit suicide, and I don't want that on my plate, so I'm staying with Mom. Okay. Dad packed up and left. Mom called me from bingo. Where's Dad? I said, he's gone. You're going to have to get a ride. Okay, great deal. I went to the fridge. I'm 12 years old. Opened up the fridge, two bottles of beer. I drank them down and went to bed. That was it. Next morning, I get up. mom's like totally freaking out. What are we going to do? What are we going to do? But she still had plans for bingo, right? My dad had left me $300 in a hidden place. And he said, this is the rent for 2 months. So take care of it. Make sure mom doesn't find out. Mom found it. She scored the 300 bucks. And then something really weird happened. I confronted mom. I never confronted her in my entire life. She was abusive to me when I was 7 years old. She tried to kill me. And so my dad beat her into insanity. She was in a mental institution for 3 months. He promised that he would never do that again. And of course, when my mom found out that he wasn't going to do that again, she started to rule the roost. So my mom found the $300 and she took it. And so I just confronted her. I said, Mom, give me the money. And she said, what money? I said, the money Dad had hidden. I need that money for rent. I'm 12 years old and I'm telling my mom, I need the money for rent. And she's looking at me like, what are you talking about? And I said, Mom, if you don't give me the money, I'm going to kill you. I need the money. We need to pay rent. We can't be out on the streets. So she said, I'll give you $100. I said, I'll take it. And of course, she went to Reno with the $200. But I went to pay the rent. Landlord came over. Mr. Ravitza came over. And he said, where's your dad? And I said, my dad's gone. But I have the rent money. And Mr. Ravitza looks at me and says, don't worry about it. Worry about it next month. Let's just let it slide. So I said, okay. I had $100. Anyway, my mom comes back from Reno. And Mr. Ravitza told me, you guys need to go on welfare. So I started hitting my mom about welfare. And so my mom was like, I don't want welfare. And I said, Mom, Mr. Ravitza is going to come over. You go with him. He's going to take you to the welfare office. You sign up. We need food stamps. We need money. We don't have any income. We hardly have the rent. Mr. Ravitza let us slide. You know, you're going to have to go for it. She said, I don't want to go with that old man. Anyways, Mr. Ravitza came over, had a talk with her, went to welfare, signed up. I'm like, good, food stamps, we're great. A week later, the social worker shows up, and she's a very nice lady, and she greets me and says, how are you doing? I said, I'm fine, and she goes in to talk to my mom. I'm watering the garden, and I hear this racket, things banging against the wall, people screaming, and I run to the back door just to see the social worker running out the door, getting into her car and burning rubber down the driveway with my mother chasing her with a broom. And I'm like, Mom, what the hell did you do? I mean, we need help. We need food. And my mom just looks at me and says, I don't like the nosy woman. And I said, okay, Mom, you know, what are we going to do? We don't have any food in the house. I was going to a State Street market and digging through the garbage to get whatever I could. She was living on sticky rice and green tea. Basically, sticky rice, you pour green tea on it, that was a meal, right? No, I don't think so. So anyway, my mom says, don't worry, I'll take care of it. So the next day, she shows up with Mr. Ravitza with 3 bags of groceries, and guess what? Mr. Ravitza hired her to work for him. So we have income, we've got rent, we've got groceries, my mom took care of it, everything's fine. Okay, 2 weeks later, I'm watering the garden, and I hear this roar of choppers coming down Bernardo Avenue. And I look up, and it's Jerry and his boys. And I'm thinking, oh, shit, they're coming to get my dad. So I run into the house, and Mom's standing there. She says, what's wrong? I said, Jerry's coming. And she said, well, what's the big deal? And I said, you know what, Mom? Go into your room. You're finished. I'll handle this. I'm 12 years old. I'm telling my mom, I'll handle this. And my mom looks at me and says, what? I said, you caused all this. You chased my dad away. You stole all those blue chip stamps. Now Jerry's coming to collect. You go in your room. I'll take care of it. And believe it or not, my mom walked in her room and shut the door. Now, when my dad left, my dad told me, you know what? I think you're safe because Jerry's wife, Serena likes you. And Serena was sort of this gypsy woman that was half Jerry's age. We used to think she was a witch because we thought she cast a spell on Jerry, you see. I don't know, Jerry just totally adored her. But Serena liked me. So I figured, okay, my dad's right, I'm safe. Jerry's coming with his boys on their choppers, but I thought I'm safe. But I still went and got the double-barreled shotgun. I loaded it up, I put it behind the door, and I put all the rest of the shells in my pocket. And Jerry came to the front door, and I said, Jerry, the front door is hammered shut. You got to come to the back door. So Jerry walked around to the back door. I opened up the door, checked if the shotgun was there, and Jerry was standing there, and he looks at me. His boys are in the background. I knew he carried a 45. I didn't see it on him. He could have had it tucked behind his. I didn't know what to expect. I was scared to hell. And I said, and Jerry says, "How you doing, boy?" And I said, "I'm doing fine, Jerry." He says, "I need to talk to your dad." I said, "My dad's not here." He said, "Where is he?" He said, "I don't know." I knew where he was. He's in San Francisco, but I said, "I don't know." I said, "Jerry, I need to level with you. My dad's gone. He's saving up the money to pay you off. Probably in a year, he's going to pay you off. Everything will be fine." And Jerry just looked at me and he said, "You know what? You're a good kid. I believe you. You worked hard at the station." He said, "You know what? I'll give your dad some time." And then he completely changed. He said, "By the way, how are you and your mom doing?" And I said, "We're doing fine." He said, "You got rent and groceries?" And I said, "Yeah, my mom's got a job. We got groceries." He said, "Okay." He said, "Listen, son, if you need any help, come by the station. We'll add it to your dad's tab." And I thought, wow. And so Jerry started smiling this weird smile. And I said, I looked at him and he said, "So, tell me, what do you got behind the door?" And I looked at Jerry and I thought, oh, well, truth. It's a shotgun, a double barrel shotgun, 12 gauge. And Jerry started cracking up. He was just laughing his head off. And he said, "Oh my God." And he looks at his boys and he said, "This kid wants to make war with us. He wants to make war. This kid's got the balls to make war with us." And he looks at me and he said, "Son, I love you. You're the greatest. Take care of yourself. Remember, if you need any help, come see me." And Jerry got on his chopper and roared down Bernardo Avenue. And that was the last I ever saw of Jerry. I don't know what I just said, but that's the best I can do.